will stand and only Sister Patricia will sit down because, you know, very soon.
She's strong.
The Hebrew women. Let them finish so that we can. Okay. So let's rise to our feet and take the reading of the scripture. I believe it is needful. We stand to sing our national anthem to pay as a sign of loyalty and respect to our country. So I believe when we are reading the scripture, we should rise to our feet. I mean, Sister P, you can remember whatever. So Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1, we read all the way through to verse 14. Just follow through as we exalt the name of the Lord. Are we there? Mm-hmm. All right. Revelation chapter 5, from verse 1 to 14. Very beautiful piece of scripture. Let's read 1 to go. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereof. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And he sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. Let's shout threefold, Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can sit down now.
Yes.
Permit me, I know it's a small setting, and in fact, the small setting that I prefer the most. But permit me, I would like to come and stand. I want to stand here. I don't have insurance.
We can move the chairs over here. Let me move this to the side. Oh, this was very complicated.
Okay. Thank you, sir. It's going to be some more of an interactive.
want us to take a discussion, and the discussion, I want us to actually write, I want us to be intentional today. And the discussion is actually a very critical aspect of our Christian faith that has been so undermined. This topic I'm about to treat is a simple subject and more practical than theoretical. And it is the reason for the lack of fire in the churches of God today. It is the reason for the reason why many believers are trying to cook up what they ought to get from God in the Spirit and trying to manipulate their ways for a substitute for it. The subject of the topic today is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I don't know if you're sure. Okay. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If we want to take this subject, it cannot be exhausted, sincerely speaking, in the next 7 Sundays, because it's a broad topic. However, we can take some excerpts, if I will say, from this little ministration. And if the Lord permits, I may continue it next Sunday, I may not. But I want to watch the gear that the Holy Spirit and the anointing and the level of anointing that will come upon us today. The presence of God is here, whether we feel it or not. He's in the midst of his people. So the topic again is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray one more time. Lord, we thank you for your presence amongst us. Thank you for the power of your corporate anointing. Many people believe that it is in the amount of numbers of people that are present that determines the level of anointing in the atmosphere. But you proved us wrong, because it only took Paul and Silas under the corporate anointing to shake the very foundations of the prison. Lord, we thank you because you are in the midst of us. Your anointing is here. Your presence is here. Your glory fills this whole place, this whole atmosphere. We are here physically in this apartment building, but we are all together caught up with you in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, we receive ministering spirits of angels to minister to us. Mm-hmm. Let our hearts burn as your word comes to us. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that you help me and grant me grace to be able to dispense the word with simplicity, without any ambiguity, and with great power and anointing to bless the hearts of your people and to bless the hearers. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, we condone this whole hall, this whole place, this whole apartment building, and we bring the divine fire of God to consume every residue and expression of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take authority over flying fowls, those foul spirits that distract people, those foul spirits that steal the word from people. Lord God Almighty, by the authority in the name of Jesus, command all those spirits by the fire of Jehovah to be burnt up right
Amen.
Now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, open the hearts of your people. Open the hearts of my brethren. Cause them to receive, Almighty God. Cause them to take me out of the picture and receive that which you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. What I want to talk about today is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which I believe is a very important subject in the Christian faith. And it is a topic that I found myself very much drawn to because of the experiences that the Holy Spirit took me through personally. And the most important thing right now in the life of the believer is the person of the Holy Spirit. And I will shortly just bring an introduction as to who the Holy Spirit is before we go into the scripture. Remember, the topic is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Before I go into this subject, I want to ask 3 people. Who is the Holy Spirit, or what is the Holy Spirit to you? I threw that question out and I threw it to Tumi. What is the Holy Spirit, or who is the Holy Spirit? If he is a what, or if he is a who? Who is the Holy Spirit?
I want us to be intentional about this, and I thank God we started early so that we can go gently.
There's no wrong answer. Go ahead.
The Spirit of
the glorified Christ. Why do you say so? How do you mean? Can you give more?
Don't say too much. Just the Spirit of the glorified Christ. Okay. How?
He was sent when Christ ascended.
He was sent when Christ ascended. Beautiful.
Please, let's give him a round of applause.
Okay.
Kindness. Who
you
is the Holy Spirit?
To me, right? Not who is the, like,
yes.
Friend.
He's a friend to you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Holy Spirit is a friend. Tope, who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? To you and with some doctrinal backup. You have one.
Why do you make his own hand like that?
Huh?
Why do you make his own hand like that?
Yeah, just came to me. Just came to me. Is Jesus in what? Oh, glory to God. And I would like to add to that, it is Jesus without boundary and without limitation. Please, let's write that down. The Holy Spirit is actually the person of Jesus Christ himself. You do not need Jesus to come down physically to come and meet you now. He is the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus in spirit form. Which will bring me to the beginning of this subject. The deity of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit or the Godhead walk in this way. John chapter 1 says something. It says, in the beginning was what?
The Word.
And the Word was?
God.
And the Word was what?
God.
Was God.
Glory.
Do we know that scripture?
Yes, sir.
So in the beginning was the Word. And who is the Word?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the Word.
That's right.
Because later in verse 14, you see where it says, and the Word was made flesh.
Yes.
Something that draws my attention, that John 1 is a very complex scripture. I was doing a theological class in the University of Manitoba like 2 years ago, where that verse of scripture connotes that God is separate from himself, but yet in union with itself. It says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus,
yes.
And the Word was with God. Yeah. If I'm with you, I'm separate from you. But then, in that sense, and the Word was what?
This
was
God.
God.
Yes.
I couldn't reconcile. They said the people told me to write an essay, so mm-hmm. I left a question for them. Because you can't comprehend God with your mind. But the Godhead is actually one
mm-hmm.
and the same God,
correct.
But in different expressions, in different manifestations, to fulfill
yes.
redemptive purpose.
That's right.
To fulfill redemptive purpose.
That's right.
In the physical, it is like water.
Mm-hmm.
Water can be manifested in three different forms.
Oh, yes.
The first is what? Solid.
Solid.
Second is
liquid.
And
yes.
the
gas.
It's the same water.
That's right.
But in different expressions.
Glory.
So also is the Holy Spirit to
mm-hmm.
us. The Godhead. There's nothing like Trinity in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But we see the expression of God the Father, we see the expression of God the Son, and we see the expression of
Holy
God the Holy Spirit. And the reason for all these three expressions was to fulfill redemptive purposes, you know, in the different dispensations of time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ came. He came as God the Son. Why? To come and die for us.
Yes.
And he died, he paid the price. But he couldn't be manifest in spirit form. He couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ will have to walk all the way with his standards from Nazareth all the way to Galilee. Lazarus was dying.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to help.
Yes.
This is somebody, the Bible never made mention of somebody who Jesus loved, except for Martha and her brother. He said, for Jesus loved Martha and loved Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And loved John. Mm-hmm. He really, really wanted to help,
yes.
but he was bound. The
right.
physical Jesus could not do anything
right.
because he was far away.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to take 4 days for him to walk all the way and journey with his disciples
Lazarus was already stinking before he issued the command and said, come forth.
Glory.
But that was Jesus physically.
That's right.
Jesus physically was limited because he was God in a human form.
Yes.
That's God the Son. And the primary reason he came was not for the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
The primary reason he came was to fulfill the redemptive purpose, to save me and you.
Oh,
his blood
Jesus.
Had to be shed.
That's right.
That was the ministry of the Son.
Exactly.
But the Son, which is Jesus Christ, knew the importance and the reason why he needed to leave.
Yes.
The disciples wanted him to remain with him. They wanted, it was a beautiful experience, I can imagine,
mm-hmm.
that the God, the very God himself,
how
was in the flesh, and you could shake him like this.
Oh,
Alpha. That's God himself.
Did you?
So it's a beautiful sight. However, Jesus physically was limited. And that is why we are in a great dispensation of time. Let's turn our Bibles now to John chapter 14, where Jesus Christ began to discuss about the Holy Spirit. This will take it bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, glory to God. Hey. John chapter 14, verse 25. Mm. Okay, from verse. Yes. Yes, I believe. Yes. I would like to read from verse John chapter 16, my apologies, we'll come back to John chapter 14. It was scattered everywhere through the book of John. Uh-huh. All right. Verse 7. Follow. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples.
Sorry, John 14, 7?
No, John 16, verse 7 first, and then we'll go to John 14. John 16, verse 7. I'm explaining why the Holy Spirit needed to, why Jesus needed to go. The Holy Spirit is Jesus without boundary and without limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And is the Spirit of the glorified Christ, as we will see later. Why glorify Christ? So, verse 7, let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is what? Expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the disciples wanted Jesus to remain. They wanted the physical Jesus to remain. What are you talking about? Anything, any affliction that you have in this life, as long as that man is there with you as your guy, you have no problem. But they really wanted him to remain. But Jesus was seeing something. His purpose was to fulfill redemption and die. The disciples couldn't see it.
Yes.
But the disciples could only walk to a measure of glory because Jesus was with them. But Jesus did not just want to be with them. He wanted to tabernacle inside them.
Mm-hmm.
So that all the expressions that Jesus Christ could do, all the things and the glorious things he could do, he could now embody or come into a body of people and begin to do the exact same things through men.
Yeah.
So Jesus left. And he said something in this verse of scripture. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go. That is, it is needful. I have to get out from this place quickly. Don't get too attached to me. There is something better. And he said it. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. So when Jesus Christ died, according to the scriptures, the Bible says he went to hell, loosed us from the grave and from hell. He ascended, descended to the lowest part of the earth, and ascended with us as King of Saints to the heavens. And according to Acts chapter 2, which we will shortly see, the coronation of Jesus Christ took place when he was anointed and when he was glorified. And as a result of the glorification of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room, known as the Holy Ghost. Today, you don't ask for the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You receive him because he has already been given.
That's right.
And he's dead. Glory. Jesus without boundary and without
limitation.
Shout amen.
Hey, amen.
Amen.
Glory. Please understand this very critically. And then I would like to, because these things are practical, what the nature of the Holy Spirit did to me. What he did to me. You understand? Because when the Holy Ghost comes into the life of a man, we will see through the life of Peter. The Bible says that he will turn you to another man.
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit does. Just let's be patient as we establish doctrine line upon line. And my intention is not to jump and scream today so you go home excited.
Mm.
My intention is to lay foundation, because the
sure.
foundations must be set aright.
That's
so right. If you do not know the Holy Ghost as a believer, not theoretically, but experientially,
mm-hmm.
then your Christian life or your Christian walk will be very dry and will be dead. Because he's the one that gives life to it. So, the Comforter, Jesus said in verse 7, he said, he will not be able to come except I depart first. Because he was Jesus without boundary and without limitation. The Holy Ghost seen in Genesis chapter 1 was the executing agent of the Godhead. In other words, you see in the book of Genesis chapter 1, if I don't want to go there because I'm just trying to lay some little foundation. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
And the earth was without form and void. That word is tohu and bohu, confusion and catastrophe.
My God.
He said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then we see the Holy Ghost. He says, and the Spirit was brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. The Word is Jesus. The Word was spoken. And the Holy Ghost is the one that brings the Word to manifestation. He's the one that confirms the Word of God. Whenever you speak the Word, it's the Holy Spirit that brings it to materialization. Everything you see, including the creation, was created by that being, that personality called the Holy Spirit. He brought everything into manifestation, full of power, a very powerful deity. His role in the Godhead is to execute. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His role in the Godhead is to execute. Whatever is spoken by the Word of God or by utterance through the Word of God, when you speak it, it is the Holy Ghost that materializes it. So everything you see in creation, the force that suspends the sun, the powerful sun that is standing there so bright and so glorious, is the Holy Spirit. The Word was spoken and the Holy Spirit brought it to manifestation. The moon, the stars of light, the vast universe,
mm-hmm.
that personality called the Holy Ghost is the one that sustained it and brought it into being through the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak to you, they are what?
Spirit.
Spirit and they are life. It's not just a verbal utterance. And without the Spirit in the Word, it is dead. So the Holy Ghost is actually the one that brings to manifestation the Word of God. And he was seen in Genesis doing what? Hovering over the face of the water, waiting for an utterance of the Word to be sprung forth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want us to look at the actual, which is the burden of this meditation, John chapter 14. We will go to John chapter 14 and we will see from verse 26. Aha, my God. Verse 26. Hallelujah. Verse 25, 26. I will read 25 and we'll read 26 together. 25 says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet what? Present with you. I'm here with you. But this is more important. Verse 26, let's read together. I want to go. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And we say what?
Amen.
Amen. That word Comforter in the Greek is a very complex word.
Sorry, what did we just read?
John 14, 26. That word Comforter in verse 26. Yeah, 25 and 26. And the same word used in John 16 we read is the word in the Greek called Parakletos. Now, that word means seven things. Very complex word. Because there was nothing else to convey the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but that Greek word coined many things. Bookie, can you read Amplified of John chapter 14, verse 26 through your phone? Do you have your phone with you? Okay. Let somebody else read it. Amplified. The Amplified of John 14, 26. The word Parakletos in Amplified. Read it through. Just read verse 26.
In Amplified. But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor.
So can you start? Can you take it gently? But the what?
Helper.
The helper. Please let's note that. Mm-hmm.
Comforter.
The comforter.
Advocate.
The advocate.
Intercessor
and the counselor. Mm-hmm.
This was in hyphen.
Yes.
Strengthener.
The strengthener, six. Now, this what Amplified is doing is that it's expanding that word parakletos,
mm-hmm.
comforter in the Greek. Because the word is so complex.
Mm-hmm.
Read it again, please.
But the helper.
The Holy Ghost is your helper. Is your helper. You want to try and carry something. You want to try and carry a table by your strength. Why are you suffering when you have a helper?
Glory to God.
I don't know if you guys are getting
this. Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost is number one, your helper.
Right.
And you must know him as your helper.
Yeah.
David said in Psalm 91 that God said, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Chidera preached about the name of the Lord. If you do not know the Holy Ghost as a helper,
mm-hmm.
you will struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You will struggle as a believer.
That's right.
The revelation as one who is my helper.
Glory
to
God.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Know him as your helper. Helper means one who gives aid.
Mm-hmm.
He helps you. Helps you to walk in character.
Mm-hmm.
Helps you to overcome the flesh. If you walk
mm-hmm.
in the spirit, you will not what? Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what the scripture says.
Jesus.
The Holy Ghost is a helper.
That's right.
Believers struggle because they don't know him as helper.
Yeah.
Know him as helper. The revelation of the Holy Spirit as your helper will transform your life.
Hallelujah.
Suddenly you realize that the things you were doing with your flesh, trying to do with your strength, was all futile. When somebody was saying there, like a wife, I'm helping you. Come. So the Holy Ghost is a helper. Can you read what the second meaning is?
Comforter.
He's a comforter.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's a comforter. I'm going to hinge on two, but I'll skip. Continue.
Advocate.
He's an advocate. When you are feeling judged, when you're feeling condemned in your conscience,
yes.
the Holy Ghost is your advocate in the court of heaven.
Amen.
Continue.
Intercessor.
He's an intercessor.
Mm.
Woo!
Oh,
my God.
Okay.
We will look at the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it will come in. But that will be later. I'm just laying a foundation now. Keep going.
Counselor.
He's your counselor. David said in Psalm 16, I will bless the Lord who has given me what?
Counsel.
My reins also shall instruct me in the night season. You have a counselor inside you.
That's right.
I'm not saying it's bad to seek for counsel, but only for counsel, run everywhere, run. You've run everywhere for counsel.
Mm.
And the Holy Ghost is giving you a counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't because you don't know him as a counselor.
Mm.
I will bless the Lord, David said, who has given me counsel. My reins speaks of your kidney, the belly region. It's not the physical reins, it's prophetic, right?
That's right.
The Bible says, out of what your belly shall flow, rivers of living water.
Mm-hmm.
So he's inside there. He says, my reins also shall instruct me in the night season. That still small voice, the Holy Spirit is your counselor. When you are in the midst of a dark condition, when you are in the midst of a condition where you are confused, you do not know what to do, shut off from the distractions and seek counsel from what? From your counselor, the Holy Spirit. Read the next one. Your strengthener. And you need strength many times in the place of adversity. But keep going.
Stand by.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Your stand by. He's there. If you just know the Holy Ghost, I ask you a question. What is the Holy Ghost? Some people know him as a what. But the real thing is who is the Holy Spirit, because he is a personality. He is a spirit
a personality. What do I mean? He has a mind.
Mm-hmm.
He has emotions.
Mm-hmm.
He can talk.
Mm-hmm.
He can hear.
Oh, yes.
He can see the
yes.
Holy Ghost.
Yes, he can.
He's because he's a spirit, and spirits have the ability to do this.
That's right.
If you see typically someone who is under the influence of a spirit that is not of God, you see these things expressed through the emotions of the spirit. When you know you see the emotions of the spirit expressed,
mm.
you see the nature
the
of that spirit. Yes, their personalities. The Holy Ghost too is a person. Jesus personified in spirit, indwelling in the life of the believer.
Mm.
The first thing is that if you do not know and you are not conscious of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, according to a servant of God, Jesus can be inside your boat and be sleeping.
Selah.
He can be there inside and he's sleeping because you don't engage him. You don't even know him as anything. Say, oh, you just think, I've got the life of God in me. Oh, Holy Ghost is inside of me. But you don't really know what it means for the God, the very God, to dwell inside mortal vessels. It is impossible. It is the greatest mystery of the Christian faith.
That's true.
The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay jars. Yeah, Holy Ghost is ticking out. That the excellency of the power
yes.
will be of what? Of God and not of man.
Exactly, sir.
It is impossible for the force that brought creation into being to dwell inside mortal man. He should burst naturally. Glory to God. Please focus. It's fine. He should burst naturally. Because the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is God dwelling inside of man. The Bible says this, that the greatest mystery from Colossians chapter 1, that the mystery that was hidden from all the ages, the mystery hidden from all the ages, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why are you people and this thing? Focus. Colossians chapter 1. When the word of God comes into your spirit, when the word of God, revelation comes into your spirit, it has the ability to liberate and has the ability. Bible calls Rhema wine.
Glory to God.
Colossians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians.
Colossians chapter 1 from verse 26.
Woo! I will soon need them. There's a ministry among us, you know, coming at some certain point. Music has a way of helping our minds.
Verse 25, I will read.
It says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, let's read together to verse 27, we want to go. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the greatest mystery. That Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of a mortal man. He said it has been the mystery that has been hid through all the ages. The kings under the Old Testament did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. Don't get it mixed. When David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me, he wasn't referring to the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. He needed an anointing to function in that office. The kings needed an anointing. The priests needed an anointing. The prophets needed an anointing. The anointing needed to come upon them in order for them to function.
Yeah.
But they did not have the Spirit dwelling inside of them. The Spirit dwelling inside of you or inside the life of a believer is a mark of sonship. Romans 8 says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
So that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. Dwells inside of us. Remind yourself of these things when you wake up every day. Because one of the ways you enter into consciousness is by speaking. If you want, if you doubt what I'm saying, if there is a sickness on your body, shut yourself from everybody for 3 days. Just be separate from everybody and keep confessing, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes. Do it for 3 days. It looks like you are running mad. But until the third day, that man becomes conscious of that scripture, that by his stripes I was healed. Meditation, that's what it does. Brings the consciousness of something to you. If you want to know the Holy Spirit, one of the first things to do is to be conscious of him by constantly reminding yourself that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. When the Spirit is living inside of you, many times it could just be there dormant. You're living your life and you don't really feel his presence. But that does not change the fact that he's there.
Amen.
He's always there.
Amen.
And he will never leave except you tell him to go. He's always with you and will always remain. Be conscious of his presence. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, according to this Colossians chapter 2 now, let's do a bit of digression there. The Bible says that this is the mystery that was hidden from all the ages. It was hidden in the Old Testament. It was hidden all throughout. And he said, what is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. On that note, we will turn our Bibles to 1 Peter. Again, what I'm doing is laying a foundation. 1 Peter.
Glory. 1 Peter. All right. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Peace, verse 9.
1 Peter was verse 9.
Chapter 1, verse 9.
The Holy Ghost is what makes the believer special. This is why the devil is jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the devil utterly hates humanity and wants to destroy them.
That's right.
Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. He never had it. He was anointed, but he never had the Holy Spirit. God dwelling inside man. So whatever it takes to make man suffer and afflicted, he has vowed with his life, out of rage and jealousy, to frustrate man. He loves to see people afflicted. He likes to see men depressed. He likes to see them under oppression. And man really wails, oh God, I'm suffering, not knowing what is inside of him, the power of the Holy Spirit. You see what redemption does? It brings you to a place. The least child of God that gives his life to Christ today is exalted high to the very heavens where Jesus is. That's what the scripture tells us. He is seated far above principalities and powers. Whether you believe it or not, it's not a function. Truth is always truth. If I tell you the sun is not going to come out tomorrow, I always use this example if people know me. And I lay a strong thesis and an argument, very plausible argument, and I go and present it before the government, use science to prove it, and tell them the sun is not rising tomorrow. Well, seems like truth, but how do we know? Tomorrow, the day we dawn, the sun will rise up and everybody will see it. What I'm saying is that truth is constant. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, some say this is what I believe. Truth is constant. Say after me, truth is constant. So the Holy Ghost is there, whether you believe it or you do not believe it, whether you have an opinion or not. When you say, Jesus, come into my life, straight away, that spirit comes and resides inside of you. You must be conscious of it. And the essence of this teaching is to know how to fellowship and interact with the Holy Spirit, what he does in the life of the believer, how he helps us practically. What does he do? So that you can know how to deploy him. how to use and put into work. So First Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Look at what it says there. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now follow, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come. Isaiah spoke about it, this salvation. Jeremiah spoke about it. All the prophets could see it, but could not enter as of that time. They were speaking, they were seeing it, but they could not enter. They spoke of this salvation, which was supposed to come to us as believers in this dispensation. They saw it, they were in awe. It was beautiful to behold. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Let's read verse 12 together. One to go. Unto whom it was now revealed that unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That scripture is just beautiful to me. That when you are walking on the streets, this treasure that is inside of you, when you are walking on the street, angels are desiring to look into that treasure. A believer may just be there under an oppression, or may just be doing his own thing and walking around, say, I'm depressed. And the angels are like, God, my God, this person has the Holy Spirit. This person has God dwelling inside of him. The Bible says they desire to look into these things. Now, I like to be very graphic sometimes. Imagination releases power when you are meditating. It took one angel to wipe out Sennacherib and his army in the book of Isaiah. The Assyrian invasion. The Bible says in one night, 180,000 men died by one angel. It took two angels to wipe away Sodom and Gomorrah from the world map. They cut them off. Not one sand is remaining of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who did it? Two angels. Now, those are angels. The Bible says they excel in strength. They are powerful beings. If God opens your eyes to see, they are humongous, powerful beings. John saw one, and he fell at his feet to worship the angel. And the angel said, Jesus, please stand up. How can you be worshiping me? Now, the believer does not understand how powerful he is. That's his biggest problem. The scripture says in Psalm 91, he shall give what? His angels charge over you. They are here, whether you believe it or not. The angels of the living God are here, and they are here in their thousands. Whether you believe it or not. That guy, what was his name? Elisha's servant. He came and people came to want to invade the territory. They came and the whole place was surrounded by armies. Elisha was just, the servant went to brush his teeth. When he went to brush his teeth, he saw people, quickly ran to his master. Papa, they've surrounded the whole place with guns. And Elijah was like, why did you disturb my sleep? Of course, that was not written. I'm making it graphic, don't mind me. Why did you disturb my sleep? And the servant said, what is wrong with this guy? I'm telling you that there are people outside to kill us. My life is at stake here. And you're telling me what is wrong with me. And Elijah said, Elisha, God, oh God, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, what did he see? Chariots of fire. David picked it up in the psalm. He said, the chariots of God are thousands upon thousands and thousands of angels. They are with you, whether you believe it or not. They are there with you. The Bible says he shall give his angels what? Charge over you. They are there. And what are they doing?
Thank you, Jesus.
They are admiring the power of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of you. He's there. God is residing in man. The greatest mystery that Lucifer cannot comprehend. The devil cannot comprehend. Angels are in awe. One believer that gives his life to Christ today. Tap your chest and say, I'm special.
I'm special.
The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, that healed the sick, that raised Lazarus from the dead, that raised cripples from the dead, is that same Jesus that is dwelling inside of you. He's now without boundary and without limitation. As one man, he had to walk all the way to Galilee, walk all the way to... They say, Jesus, this man died. Ah, he was running to go and heal Jairus' daughter. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, the daughter had died. He was running there. Oh, yeah, yeah, I will heal him. As he was running there, there was a woman with the issue of blood. Who, I beg, let me just touch this man, garment, bar, and she was healed. And he was on the way to go and heal somebody. One man incapacitated. But he said, no. See, don't get comfortable with me. I want to inhabit a body of people so that Jesus can be without boundaries. So if Tokwe goes to Markham, the possibilities of Christ are in Markham. If I am in Pembina, the possibilities of Christ are in Pembina. We are split across all over the world with little mini Jesuses everywhere. Shout amen.
Amen.
So beautiful. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's like the water in gaseous form. That is what it is. So you must know how powerful this being is. You must know that he's a personality. He's real. He's real. He's tangible. Oh my God. It's not a story, not theory. I told God immediately I got born again that see, because it was all theory I knew from, if you are going to do theory with me, please, if this thing is real, if it's not real, please let me forget it altogether. And then the Holy Spirit visited me because he's the one that makes the things of the Spirit a reality. This is just a book. What is the difference between this book and the Islamic book? What is the difference between this and the Quran? What is the difference between this book and the Mormons? You think they don't have Rema too? They have Revelation. If those guys stand up and begin to dice their book for you and begin to make references, they have deep revelations. So now, one may say, why have you believed what you believe? What really makes a difference? Do you know what it is? Say it, the Holy Ghost. Say it with conviction, the Holy Ghost. Say it with conviction, the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
He's the one that makes the difference. The
Amen.
Spirit of God that backs up the scriptures.
Yeah.
There's only one God. Only one God.
That's right.
He's the one that backs up the scriptures. So that is the difference. It's not even in the abundance of Rema. Those things are true. But it's the spirit behind the scriptures that it makes it tangible and real, and we know that this is it. The Holy Spirit, He's the one. We must get acquainted with Him. This is the time, if there is any time that believers should get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and know Him as a personality, it is now. Don't know Him as a what. Don't know Him as an it or a thing. He is a personality. He's actually a spirit. He has emotions. He can express his emotions through you. Have you ever maybe gone to see, you're walking on the street and you maybe see somebody afflicted and the Holy Spirit cries on your inside? You can tell. He has emotion. He has a mind. He has a will. We will shortly see these things. I'm establishing it. It'll be like saying we'll continue next Sunday. You know? And if he has a mind, it will mean that he requires of us two things, submission and obedience. Because your mind, you are in control of it.
Yep.
You can choose to go this side. And the Holy Ghost is saying, go that side. So, submission, obedience, the covenant, and sacrifice are four things that will get us or get a believer deeply acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will talk about them next week. Submission, obedience, the covenant, and sacrifice. Those four things, and we will look into them one by one. So, this is a very, very important subject that we must be very acquainted with in reality. We must cry on our bed when we pray, Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. That's the inspiration in this song. The song that says, I surrender. Who sang that song? I surrender.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more.
Amen. It must be a cry in the life of the believer. You want to know the Lord. You want to know the Holy Spirit. You must actually cry, Lord, I want to know you. You must be desperate. I read a book that really touched me so much. It was during the early times of Benny Hinn. It was a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I really admire the relationship that guy had with the Holy Spirit in the inception of when God began to call him into this thing. He was in Catherine Kuhlman's crusade. Catherine Kuhlman was another woman who was so, Jesus, so in love with the Holy Spirit. Ministers of God may have had mistakes, but learn what you can from them and learn to separate the chaff from the wheat. I admire her affinity and love for the Holy Spirit. And Benny Hinn was a little boy in India, Jaffa, and he went into the crusade of Catherine Kuhlman. And prior to that time, you know, he heard about Jesus, and he was even born again. But Catherine Kuhlman was there and began to talk about the Holy Spirit and began to worship. Benny Hinn did not, because it's undescribable. It's a spiritual experience. It's hard. When the Lord is beginning to touch you on the inside, it's hard to describe. One of the ways I can describe it is maybe when you are in deep worship. You're not touching something physically, but you know you are touching God. And he felt the presence of God strongly. He had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that, it wasn't a vision or anything. He just knew in his heart that something had touched him in worship. He went back to his room and spent time in the presence of God before the next day of the crusade. He did not remember when about 8 hours had passed him. It felt like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the Holy Spirit in prayer. Subsequently, he went for the second crusade. Just the innocent young boy who had no intention of ministering at all. All he wanted was God. And then he went for the second meeting, had a more beautiful experience with the Holy Spirit, and went and locked himself up for 100 days with the Lord. Now, that's not normal. It takes the drive of the Spirit to be able to do that. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Remember what happened to Jesus? The Bible says he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. You can't cook it up. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that puts the fire in you. He's the one that ignites it. Jesus didn't cook it up. After the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on him, the Bible says, and Jesus was driven. That same word is the word to cast. You do not know why you are driven to pray. You do not know why you are driven to seek God's face. You do not just understand why you are waking up at night to pray. You do not understand why you are driven to the scriptures. You do not know why you are hungry for God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who does it. You don't cook it up. That's why we must know him. That's why we must get acquainted with him. Because if it's not on, the fire does not come from anywhere. It comes from his presence. It comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that puts and ignites that fire in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You must be conscious of this. Ah, God help me to be able to communicate to you guys' hearts so your hearts will burn. So that out of what I'm telling you now, it will not just be words. Oh, Daniel, there was one message. Oh, what did he talk about? He talked about the Holy Spirit. My intention is to challenge you to go back to your closet. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to know you on a deeper level. If what Daniel is preaching is true, then set my heart on fire. I want to know you more. Drive me to your presence. Drive me to where you are. The work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does it. The spirits do something. When you look at one of the ways to identify the operation of a spirit without the zen of spirits is through the mark it leaves on the person. You look at somebody who has shaven his hair, his eyes are swollen and his hunched back, and what you see is infirmity. And so what you say is a spirit of infirmity. Because the mark of that spirit is shown on that person as sickness.
That's right.
So the mark, spirits put their mark on the human vessel. Mm. Very important. The spirit, the deaf and dumb spirit, what did he do? He deafened the ears and bound the mouth. And he said, well, you deaf and dumb spirit. So it leaves the mark.
Hallelujah.
Without the end of spirit, you can no more see this one. It's very clear. You don't need too much this thing. The discernment or judgment is clear, clearly there. So also, if spirits leave mark on people, I have a question for you. What kind of mark will the Holy Ghost leave on you? Question. If spirits leave their mark on a human being, what kind of mark does the Holy Spirit leave on the life of one who has been fellowshiped with him intensely, who has deeply immersed himself in divinity? Question.
Kindness is thinking.
Transformation.
So he leaves
like a distinct mark for me.
Yes.
Transformation is blood, right?
Yes,
a
distinct man.
So,
like for example, the spirit of infirmity, you see sickness. Deaf and dumb spirits, you see his mouth is deaf. And so, what does the Holy Ghost? What is his primary operation to the life of the believer?
She was not.
You are saying something.
No, but you asked.
A wind. You want to turn to a wind?
To be like a wind, you don't know how you're fitting.
Okay, so he makes you like a wind, unpredictable.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's one expression. I like that. But what's the primary one?
Well, I like
what
is said
to be
like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Ah, bros, give me a high five. I like that answer. Because that's what he does. The Holy Spirit will leave the character of Christ, the mark of Christ on the life of the believer.
Wow.
Such that when somebody, I said something, when somebody has fellowshiped so much with a bottle of ogogoro, when you come, when you just come around the person, you can smell the ogogoro and everything. It's a state of drunkenness. This guy has been drinking Heineken and is even looking like a Heineken himself. The mark is clear. When you have fellowshiped with the Holy Spirit, because it is Christ, he begins to leave the mark of Christ on you. When you walk around, when you move, people can tell
joy
that this person, the fruits of the Spirit, this person, man, I know those who you just be
power.
Just remind me of Jesus. When somebody tells you that, be happy. It means that you have been fellowshipping with God. It means that you have been dipping yourself in God.
Amen.
I was coming back from Kogi State in Nigeria one time, myself and Ruki, in that one Kabu Kabu Skataka. And we were driving on the road, and there was a policeman. You know those policemen in Nigeria, there are a lot of checkpoints now, coming from Uncle, this person's place. So there are a lot of checkpoints with guns. So as we were driving, myself, Rookie, and one brother from Nigeria, Shaddai, the police, you know, just were just holding their gun, and you know, they would look inside the car and say, oh yeah, pass. So they looked inside the car, and the guy was already telling us to pass, because I know we didn't know them. And I looked at him and did like this, hi. He said, oh yeah, come back. So he told me to park. I was in, I just smiled, ah, police. He said, oh yeah, park. Calm down, what are you people doing? And I wore my normal jean and a jacket shirt and jeans, and I just looked like a regular person, a normal, looking like a street boy, self. You know, because when you go to Nigeria, you have to blend into their distance. So they will not kidnap you. But just kidding. But when I came out of, when the man told us to park at the end, he came with his gun and was marching towards us with anger, not smiling. So he walked towards me with anger, and he just suddenly stopped. Said, took a step back. He's a man of God. I looked at Rukia. I don't understand. He said, say, wow. He said, they, the light day. Ah, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir, I stopped you, sir. May kuna be clear. I said, wait, how do you know? He said, I don't know. He said, I just came around you and I just, we were laughing when I was teaching somewhere on hearing from God that policemen know how to use their sense of perception more than believers. I perceive. It was a perception. He came around me, came around us, and could perceive Christ in our life, in our workplaces,
hallelujah,
in school, wherever we are. The Holy Ghost brings the character of Christ to manifestation. He leaves the mark of God. You don't need to sweat for the fruits of the Spirit if you are deepening yourself in Him. Abide in me. If you abide in me, then you shall bring forth much fruit. So it is the Holy Spirit. So He leaves the mark of Christ on you. I really love that. The mark of Christ. So the secret is to fellowship with Him. Get to know Him. Next time we'll be treating one by one the different aspects. The Holy Spirit as a helper, the Holy Spirit as an intercessor, the Holy Spirit in prayer. And we'll talk extensively on the 10 benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost. We'll talk about, I want us to anticipate these teachings because these are things that established you. We'll talk about the tangibility of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Power can be felt.
Yes.
Power is tangible. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, you can touch it. We explore some certain things in this small setting of fellowship. So the Holy Spirit is the one. And you must know Him. Know Him intimately. Don't only know Him as someone who you can get things from.
Mm-hmm.
Really seek to know Him and get acquainted with Him. What fuels relationships is communication. The more you interact with somebody, the more you get to know the person. I've known Chidera for 5 years now, 5 solid years of my life, and I can say every day I'm knowing Him better and better. I'm seeing some kind of, some nefesh, here, new nefesh every day is unfolding. I'm also, as I'm fellowshipping with Him, I'm seeing some beautiful characters of His that I never knew were there. And it was because we have been, in a good measure, interacting with each other closely for a long time. There are depths in God that ye may be able to comprehend. What is the length? What is the breadth? What is the depth in God? And the Holy Spirit, we must seek to know Him. We must seek to know Him deeply, intimately. Glory to God. Maybe we'll take one. Since I have small time, I can just begin to, can begin to lay some sweet start with hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, ministry of Musola has taken. Okay, so I want us to say the ministry of the Holy Spirit of in the believer, number one.
Mm-hmm. Number one. Mosabra Bakapaya.
The Holy Spirit, number one, I want you to write. The Holy Spirit makes God tangible. Please write that. I will use a scripture. He makes God tangible. It's not a cock and bull story. It's not, I believe, or I'm trying to believe. Are you sure? The Holy Spirit brings the tangibility of God into being. He makes God tangible. God can be touched. And it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Okay. The Holy Spirit makes God tangible. Can we read that first point? Makes God tangible. To many people, God is one very far old man that dwells in one place that cannot be touched. Far, and in fact, there's a scripture to back it up. He says He dwells in unapproachable light that no man can come to. But listen, the Holy Spirit makes God tangible and even realer than touching with your physical brother or a physical thing. Okay, That's fine. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit makes God tangible. Please, let's pay attention. You see, I'm going to share with you some certain things. In a typical meeting like this, there are momentums. They are gears, and everybody must be sensitive to where the gear is, where the direction of the Holy Spirit is. People can easily miss out when they lose. So just stay with me, please. Stay with me. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
may you not see me in the name of Jesus. Don't see me. Don't see me. Focus on what the Lord is saying. The Holy Spirit makes God tangible, makes God real, makes the reality of the things of God and the things that are written in the scriptures real and not a thing of theory. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Oh, glory. Don't worry. By next week, when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit as your helper, all the things that you have struggled with, you will not need prayers. By revelation, they will go. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
When you begin to comprehend the Holy Spirit as your helper, you are trying to carry a table. And if you don't know, let me help you carry it. Many people have been trying to do many things by their strength. Next week we'll talk about the Holy Spirit as a helper. For who art thou, mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He says, for it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He is the helper. Alright, John chapter 3. Alright, verse 1. Please follow the story. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which is in the Hebrew, teacher. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Please follow this closely. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what?
He
can't see the kingdom of God. Please take note of the word to be able to see the kingdom of God. And that word means to perceive, to have an awareness, to have a sense of it, of the kingdom of God. That's what the born again experience does. That was our emphasis today. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, Jesus, I wonder why he did these things. He was talking from another frequency entirely, and this man was completely on the earth, not understanding what Jesus was saying. But now we understand because the mysteries have been revealed. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again? I'm sure he would have thought Jesus was one silly man. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered and said, let's read verse 5 together. I want to go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. The first dimension is to what? Is to see. The born again experience brings you to a place where you have an awareness of the things of God. You have a strong awareness of the things of God. What the born-again experience really does, to be honest, aside from the exchange of life, what it does is that it takes away a veil from your eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, he says, the God of this world, which is the devil, he said he has blinded the minds of men so that the glorious gospel will not shine unto them. So, what happens here is that the born-again experience removes a veil from your eye. Suddenly you can see. Suddenly you understand. Myself, for example, I was born in a Christian home. I read the scriptures. They preached scriptures. In fact, I preached it. Because every day, every evening, we used to do the devotion and I used to read scriptures. So I knew Psalms 1, Romans 8. My father gave me, say, whoever can memorize Romans 8, 5,000. So the spirit of competition will drive us to begin to memorize Romans 8. Although I never won it. My sisters always won it. But it was in that spirit I was following. I didn't know who I was following. I was doing it because of religion. I'm just doing it because I was following on. I mean, I bless God today. Now I know Romans 8 off heart, you know. It was somehow beneficial. But I was blind to the things of God. I was blind to the things of the spirit. When they tell me just, I believe in God. Why? Because I was born as a believer. The born again experience brings you to a place of conviction. You know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's what it is. How do you know you're a child of God? He said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the Holy Spirit, or the witness of the Spirit, the born-again experience rather, strengthens your conviction. You have a conviction that you know you are a child of God. Suddenly you have an awareness. Suddenly that blindness is taken away from your eyes. Don't blame people who you preach to and they are not understanding what you are saying. Or they are insulting you. It's not their fault. They are blind.
Hallelujah.
They are trying to tell a blind man, look, this thing, look at the color. Look at the color. And you are slapping him. Repent, repent. Look, look, look. He cannot see. That's why I like Luke's message. Another miracle of sight. Once a man can see, once you can get him to see, the business is done. That's why in evangelism you must bind the devil and command the veil that he has put on their eyes to be removed. Because once a man can see, you don't need to tell him. He knows that this is it. And the most powerful kind of sight is seen through your spirit, not even your physical eyes. So the born again experience brings you to a place where you have an awareness of the things of the spirit. You have your life has been exchanged in exchange for his own. You didn't give your life to Christ. He took your rotten life and gave you his own in exchange. The testimony of a man in Christ is not a life that has been transformed or changed, but is a life that has been exchanged. So God didn't transform you. He took your useless life and gave us his life in exchange. Like you see, that life begins to grow inside of us until it swallows us up completely. So, but that's what the born-again experience does. It brings you to a place where you can see. But then, verse 5 tells us about something. Verse 5. It says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God." I find this scripture very interesting. Yeah, there is a dimension of seeing which the born again experience does, but there's a dimension of entering, which is a further work of the Holy Spirit and what it does. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Many times when teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is one of the further works of grace under the new covenant, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the immersion in the Holy Spirit, this is the scripture we use to teach it. Because when one is swallowed up by the Holy Ghost, when one is baptized with the Holy Ghost and yielding to the Holy Spirit, such a person, the Holy Spirit grants him entrance into the things of the Spirit. The word enter there can also be seen as the word tangible, to be able to touch. John, to be able to experience, that's what the word enter there means. John said in John, 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and which our hands have what? Have handled of the word of life. Let's go there. Last scripture, so that we can pray.
I don't like to preach for too long like this, eh? But, it's 11:51. Bless God.
First John chapter 1, verse 1. Remember, I'm talking about entry. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to begin to experience the things of the kingdom. Enter, to touch. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Except a man be born of water, except a man be born of spirit, taken over by the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the things or into the kingdom of God. He can't experience it. He may have a sight of it through the born again experience, but once that believer begins to yield to the Spirit, once that believer has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and lives a life of constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Holy Ghost in his life begins to grant him experiences in God that are tangible, not by talk or things, but they are real. And you know that these things that you believe are not fables. So he's the one that does it. Except a man be born again, he cannot. cannot see. But when you are born of water and of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the immersion in the Holy Spirit, then you can enter. The holy place experience in the tabernacle of Moses under the old covenant, you see, in the tabernacle there was the outer court, there was the holy place and the holiest of all. I remember that the outer court, the holy place, the holiest of all are different experiences that we are to experience in God. These are things that I believe we are very much acquainted with. For in the outer court, where the brazen altar, which speaks of the cross, the brazen lava, which speaks of baptisms and baptisms in the Holy Spirit, those are experiences of the born again experience in the outer court. Now, the lava, we will talk about this next time graphically, so that I want everybody to be on the same page. The lava, which is where baptism takes place, is right at the curtain of the holy place. And once a man is immersed, or the priest is immersed into the lava, into baptism in the Holy Spirit, then he can now be ushered into the holy place. It is in the holy place that you experience how to walk in the Spirit. It is in the holy place that the bread is administered, the revealed word of God. It is in the holy place that the gifts of the Spirit manifest. But first of all, the priest must be immersed in the outer court before he can move into the holy place. So, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. You begin to experience the house of God sincerely. From standpoint of the new covenant, starts from the holy place. There's no place in the new covenant where you see the all from the outer court, the holy place. The outer court was taken out in the New Testament. So the house of God really, really, really starts from when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, the experience of the Holy Ghost. So this is what he does. He makes God real to us. He makes the Holy Spirit, he makes the presence of God tangible to us. It's unexplainable. Somebody may ask you, why are you like this? How come you are so in love with God? What is it that you experience? I don't know. You touch something. It's the Holy Spirit. And we must seek to know him in these last days. Because the amount of attacks that are coming upon the church right now, and are coming upon the world right now, if the believer is not acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit, not only from the standpoint of doctrine, but that's the basis, but also by reason of experience, he will suffer casualty. So that's why we want to take time to educate ourselves on who this personality is, why we need to know him, what his modus operandi is, what he really does to the life of the believer, and what are his different ministries to the believer. For once a man can encounter the Holy Spirit, that is the end. Your gospel will continue to be talk until the Holy Spirit comes in. Your gospel will continue to be talk until the Holy Spirit comes in. You may try to convince somebody, give your life to Christ. I did all that. I tried my best by works, to convince people to give their life to Christ. It was zeal, the genuine zeal of God, trying to convince people. But then I realized that it was and is the Holy Spirit that does the conviction. He's the one that does everything. So we must wait for him. We must wait for him. We must wait on him. We must understand him, understand his emotions, understand his temperament.
Hallelujah.
What gets him angry and what doesn't get him angry. We must not decide of God to touch that will get him excited. He's a spirit. And I pray that God will grant us grace to be able to interact with him in the name of Jesus. Many believers don't know how to interplay or walk in the realm of the spirit because we are so physical. So, these are part of the things we will discuss with ourselves, and we will begin to establish it line upon line. I believe the Lord will grant us grace. I was able to start with one point today, and the point is, the Holy Spirit actually makes God tangible. Can touch him. He's real. He's real. He's real. He's real. We will differentiate between faith and feelings. But the power of God can be tangible. Does not mean every time when it's not tangible that he will not come. That's the problem. Because if you base your faith on feelings, you will suffer. And you will suffer. You know. But the power, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit can be tangible. Very, very important. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes God's power tangible.
I want us to interact with ourselves in the next Bible study. We'll take that first point again. I'll tell you how what the Holy Spirit did, how He transformed me, and how He transformed some of our lives. Because what this will do is that you will know that these things that are being spoken about are not just theory. They are real. Can take a man from the dust and transform him and impart in him the character of Christ. Men who see that such a person before will be like, what happened to me? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So, I believe the Lord will grant us grace. It's been a beautiful Bible study. I felt the presence of God.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
So God is in our midst. There's a song I want us to sing. We must know how to wait on God.
Amen.
We must know how to wait on Him. He's a Lord Spirit. He's a Lord Spirit. That means He has a will. He's sovereign. He can choose to do whatever He wants to do, and our role is to submit.
Yes.
You can go this way and go that. He's not the Lord Spirit to say, Holy Ghost, go here. No. You submit to Him like a wife. You follow Him. So that's why the importance of waiting on God is a very important principle. And that's the song we will sing. I don't know if you know it.
We will wait on You.
Oh yes, I've heard that before, I know it. We are talking about the reality.
Ask the Holy Spirit, I want to know you and know you deeper. I want to have a deep fellowship with you. He's the one that imparts us with fire, desire, hunger. Holy Spirit, impart me. I want to know you deeper. I want your presence to be tangible to me. Oh, kata shete men breva, sala bakaya deshe ro prediya sakamara, elose deke.